picking up strangers. Let me tell you about the dangers. You never know what they're out to get from you. You never know what they're gonna try.
All right, welcome back. Picking up strangers, episode 49. You made it again, Friendly Frank.
49? Really?
49.
Wow.
One from 50.
That's something.
Besides your immediate family, am I the person you speak with the most?
You would like to believe that.
100% I would.
That's why I'm asking. Make you feel good? Yes. Yes, you're the person I speak to the most outside my family.
That makes my heart happy. Thank you.
Yeah. Doesn't take much, does it?
No, man. I'm an easy person. I told you that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Who do you speak to the most outside your family?
Oh, who do I speak to the most? Oh, outside of my family? Enterprise reps. That's who I speak with the most. People I got to work with. Which, they find me hilarious. I'm unsure of why you don't find me with the same hilarity.
I probably know you a little better.
Wow.
They're just getting that, the edited version for work.
Oh, well, that's true. I have to. I need to keep my job.
Exactly. So you've answered your own question. So you answered your own question. There you go.
What do you mean? I didn't have a question. I don't know what that has to do with you. You get a slightly edited version, too.
What? Yeah, on here, yeah. Because I know one day what I say can and will be used against me in a court of law. Therefore, I must be careful.
Well, the sad
pragmatic
truth is that neither one of us are that important for anybody of authority to be listening to.
You don't know that.
Yes,
I
do.
I think you know that.
100% I know that.
Well, we live in strange times, my friends.
Well, what's going on, man? What's happening? What happened this weekend? Out on the wild roads of Southern California.
Man. Chaos. You know what? I will say this. I've seen more highway patrol cars on the freeways. Maybe they're starting to work again. But
what do you mean?
For the longest time, man, I wasn't seeing any CHP on the road. And, you know, it's, I think without that presence, you have a lot more people that decide 85 miles an hour is the speed I want to go. And there's no one around to stop me, so that's what they're doing. But
so let me ask you this. You drive the speed limit, or you only drive 5 miles over the speed limit? Maximum 70 miles an hour for you.
Yeah, maximum 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't say that I abide by the same standard.
I do. Because I know if my black behind gets pulled over, there could be more problems than just a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, you know, when I'm on the freeway, there's always someone driving faster than 70 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So I feel safe that's my cap. And, you know, if I was to get pulled over, I'd be like, you know, there was a guy that just, you know, just went past me at 90 miles an hour. How come you got me?
So you think that's not going to bring you any problems?
Huh? Well, it probably will. That's the reason why I drive 70 miles an hour.
But if you get pulled over at 75 miles an hour and you're still giving guff.
Not 75 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour.
Okay, well, even 70.
If the speed limit is 70, then I'll do maybe 75. But most of the time, I'm doing the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at most 5 miles over the speed limit. At most. I have a little, like I said before, I have a little indicator that lets me know. It turns red on my phone. That lets me know, hey, you've reached 5 miles over the speed limit. And I can adjust my speed accordingly. But, man, people get mad at you for driving the speed limit. blowing their horn like they're crazy.
Well, depending on where you're driving the speed limit at, look, I do believe that there is a, that going with the flow of traffic is probably the safest way to travel.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that flow of traffic's 80 miles an hour, sometimes that flow of traffic's 65. You know, you get out in the desert, you get to like 90, but... I'm not always a huge fan of someone being in the carpool and or fast lane doing the speed limit.
That's no. You're carpool lane, I think that's a fair deal.
Mm-hmm.
Carpool lane.
What do you mean? What's a fair deal? Going the speed limit or going over the speed limit?
Going the speed limit. I'm sorry, it doesn't say the acceleration lane.
It should.
And then, you know, you have some bastard just riding by himself that's in a diesel truck, you know, and he's honking the horn at you because I'm like, look, man, I'm doing the speed limit. I have passengers in the car. I'm just trying to get through traffic. You're getting through traffic because we're in the carpool lane. You know, I only use the carpool lane usually when there's traffic. When there's traffic. And I have passengers.
Uh-huh.
I can count at least maybe three times I used the... No, maybe, I think two. Because I was delivering a package one time. But I only use the carpool lane when I have people in the car. But I can't tell you how many times I'm in the carpool lane and there's someone that's not in a, you know, not in a electric vehicle or a hybrid. They just decide to go over the double lines because they want to avoid traffic.
Right.
And that's what they do. But don't give me grief because I'm doing the speed limit. Or, you know, a lot of times I'm doing, you know, the speed limit might be 65 miles an hour. I'm in the carpool lane. I'm doing 65, 70 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And still get grief from people, you know, they'll blow their horns, they'll flash their lights, and it's like...
Well, I'm not going to say that there aren't assholes out on the road. I mean, there are some people...
Well, there's a large amount.
You know, although I don't like just going 5 miles over the speed limit, I also don't think endangering others while driving fast is smart either.
Well, you could be doing your 5 miles over the speed limit and not have enough reaction time because some fool just swerved in front of you and...
That's true.
You know, then it's on you. The other thing is, I got that video system in my car, so it'll show... if I was in an accident, it'll know what speed limit I was going.
Right.
It'll tell everything. So I have to be, I have to remember that also. Because as it is for my protection, it's also a deterrent for me to go faster than, you know, 5 miles over the speed limit.
Well, I'm glad you're very careful out there.
All that's recorded and can be used against you. But I don't know, man. Just seeing a lot. It just seems like I keep repeating myself. All these accidents, man. I'm talking about, I'm seeing more accidents than I did before the pandemic. And I'm not talking about just minor fender benders. I'm talking about cars flipped over on the side of the freeway wall. You know, it just...
Well, I've been saying for a while, and I think that a lot of people forgot what it's like to drive in L.A. The amount of patience that it requires, the amount of paying attention that it requires. I mean, L.A. used to be, you know, it was fast and furious, not as fast as New York, but fast and furious and aggressive driving. You know, whereas there's definitely a distinction between driving in L.A., driving in San Diego, or driving in Riverside and driving in L.A.,
oh, yeah.
But everybody was still in the same mindset, you know, almost like a hive of bees. It can be fast, but it's all moving together. Now that everyone had a year and a half or 2 year break of having to do any of that, I feel like everyone's out of that synchronization. And now you still got people who are driving like maniacs versus...
They just don't give a... They just don't care, man. They just don't care. I mean...
Well, I think that's a the big amount stretch to say people, that everybody doesn't care.
The amount of people that I see that just blatantly go through red lights. And I'm not even talking about the signal going from yellow to red. I'm talking about the amount of people that's like, okay, I waited long enough. And I seen a couple of times this week, people in the making a, they had to make a left turn, they're in the left turn lane. Busy intersections. They're like, it was like, they was like, you know, I waited long enough and just made that left through traffic. And I'm like, holy.
Well, that's a bit crazy.
Oh, man. I see that a lot more up in L.A. But there were cars coming. I mean, it wasn't even... I'm like,
look,
I'm
well,
looking
right.
around
I'm not
to see
say
if there
I
was a
done
police
before,
chase. Huh?
I said, I'm not going to say that I haven't done that before, late at night, and the light's red. You're just like, fuck it, I'm going. But with cars coming, it's a little bit different story.
Yeah! And I'm talking about not just, you know, not just a, you know, a trickle of cars. I'm talking right. about traffic. Real traffic, man. And I'm like... You know, what, do you have someone with a bullet wound in the car and you trying to get to the hospital? Is there a pregnant lady getting ready to deliver? I mean, and just missing, I mean, just missing hitting cars. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody has been out when it's midnight, 1 o'clock, and you're sitting right. at that light. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and it doesn't cycle. It cycles through, but it doesn't give you that turn signal. And you're like, man, and you wait and make sure you don't see, at least I do. I make sure that there's no headlights coming or behind me. And then I'll go, you know, you sit there for 3 to 5 minutes waiting on this light that doesn't change. That might not change because, you know, it figures traffic isn't busy and I'll make that turn. But I'm just talking about just blatant, just no respect for people that are on the road. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about like 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know. When there's enough traffic on the road where you don't put other people in peril because, you know, you late getting to the club or going to the bar or, you know, even getting to a job. It's not that important. And a lot of these accidents, I believe, is because it's the amount of speed on the freeways and people not having enough time to react. I can't tell you how many times somebody just 90 miles an hour just cut across three lanes, almost caused an accident with me. You go across the freeway, three lanes to get to an exit. I mean, I've said it before. I've seen cars on the shoulder of the freeway backing up to get to the exit that they just passed. With cars. With cars. It's daylight. This isn't even at night. And I'm like, okay, the next exit's what, a quarter mile, half mile? You couldn't right. just... And it's... They don't care. Don't care.
Well, I will say something that I see a lot. And... Not to live up stereotypes. Diamond Bar is predominantly Asian. Now, what I notice... I'm not going to say that they're all just bad drivers. What I notice is there's not a lot of people, at least in Diamond Bar, that know the right-of-way rules. And I think that is, like, that's something that when I drive, I live by. I know, however you come up to a stop sign, I know the different ways on who's supposed to go first. There shouldn't be any waving through. I see that
no,
a lot.
No, I can't tell you how many times I ain't wave fools through because I ain't taking that chance. We all come to the spot. We all come to the stop sign.
We all coming at the same time, sure. Some of that communication is required.
But I'm talking about we're all there. Now, if you know the rules, you know it's your turn to go.
Right.
And you see this person start pulling out, and you're like, nope, not going to get me that way. Let me just wave your ass through. Wave it through.
I see because that all the time. And I also see when people pull in, like, off of a main road into, like, a shopping center. Usually there's a three-way stop, right? When you're coming off the main street, you don't have a stop sign because they want you in and not causing traffic on that. And it never fails. There's always someone who's stopped because they see three other cars stopped. And now they're causing a problem behind them. And it's just... It's the common knowledge of who has the right of way in what circumstance. I find a lot of people not knowing those basics. I don't know if they're new drivers. I don't know if it's, you know, something else. But that is one of the biggest things that I have a problem with. Because I know when I'm supposed to go. I've been to traffic school enough times. I could probably write a book on it. So... That just frustrates the hell out of me when you're sitting at a stop sign and you do play that dance game. Somebody goes forward, somebody stops. Somebody goes forward, somebody stops. It's like it's actually written down on how this is supposed to go. Probably read that.
Oh yeah.
So.
I just, you know, maybe I have some pet peeves. I know I have some pet peeves with, you know, passengers.
With passengers?
Yeah, man. You know, I think it was the pandemic that put me in the mindset that I don't want anybody sitting in the front seat with me.
Why?
Huh? Just don't. I'm more comfortable if your ass is sitting in the back.
What if they got four passengers or three passengers?
Well, then there's the exception. But see, before the pandemic, before those rules, you know, came out, it wasn't a problem. Once they established those rules, I feel more comfortable with people sitting in the back. And I realized that, okay, now I can carry four passengers and someone has to sit in the front. And it's always someone with some kind of messed up breathing problem, man.
Hey, how you doing?
And then try to carry a conversation on with me.
Hey, so how long you been driving Uber?
I'm like, damn. Hey, I gotta hear that. And it's always, it's never a short trip. It's always, you know, it's always a 20-minute trip, and I gotta... Or I had this one lady, she sounded like there was a whistle stuck in her nose. And she was... And it wasn't even loud. It wasn't even loud, but it was just at the right decibel to just get on my nerves. I was like, you know, it, especially females. If they normally will sit in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because they, you know, they feel safer, more secure. Sure. But, man. And I'm like, I can't just get somebody that doesn't have some kind of nasal problem when they sit up here in the front seat. Because, I mean, it's you know, I get
just
over
one
it.
Non-deviated symptom or septum.
Yeah. Oh, man. And another pet peeve of mine is these fools that jump in the car and some of them don't even say hello. They're like, hey, can you turn on some music? Here we
go. Somebody's hurt your feelings again.
I not hurt my feelings. They getting ready to get their feelings hurt. In a nice way. But, look, I understand that people are connected by music. I understand it relaxes you. It sometimes hypes you up. It puts you in a good mood and like that. But if you're going 1.5 miles,
mm-hmm.
And you're asking me, hey, can I turn in, can you hook, you have an aux cord so I can hook my music up? I'm like, we're 3 minutes away from where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I pull out the aux cord and you hook it in to your phone, we'll be there. What are you tripping off of?
Maybe he's about to break up with his girlfriend and needs some hype music before he does it.
I don't know. But, I mean, to me, that's irritating as hell, man. I mean, like I said, I can understand if we're going a distance. Agreed. You know, maybe even 15, 20-minute ride. And you're like, hey, man, can you hook up my tunes? Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you going to the laundromat right down the street and you want to listen to your music. I mean, oh, man. It's just... It's unnerving. I'm like, you know, and I make a mental note. I'm like, okay, I accept the trip. They're in the car. 1.5 miles. Hey, can you have an aux cord so I can hook up my music? And I want to say, UMF-er. We're 4 minutes from where you need to go. You can survive 4 minutes without listening to your music. And it's just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting
starting to get that old man crotchetiness, bro.
But you know what? I don't believe it's old man crotchetiness. I mean, I think it's...
Look, when you start complaining about the way somebody breathes, you're either getting old man crotchety, no. or you're in a relationship that you've been in too long that you don't want to be in. It's like telling somebody they chew too loud.
No. Let me tell you how
your nose whistle up, please.
let me tell you how I come to this conclusion, because it's like this past week, I was like, how, you know, you get one customer, you get one passenger, and then you get another one. And you're like, do all these people have breathing problems? I didn't even pick you up. You know, I understand if I pick you up from the hospital, you know, you just been unhooked from all the hoses and stuff and you're recovering. But, I mean, I'm like, dang. I mean, it was like 3 or 4 different people. And it was like, it wasn't just regular. And you know, I can understand if you're getting old and your lungs, you know, stuff isn't working the way it's supposed to. But some of these people are young kids. You know, they're young people, you know.
Maybe they got a cold or a sinus infection.
I don't know. Well, then, you know, then you need to be sitting in the back. You got a cold. You need to be sitting in the back. Some of these people want to hop up front like I'm their buddy. Hey, I'm riding shotgun with my buddy. No, not with that.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, man, I really appreciate this ride.
I appreciate if you just, like, stop breathing. Just for a minute. Just give me a break from that. Oh. I'm talking. See, you're thinking. You're thinking. I swear to you, man, this ain't normal breathing, man. This ain't normal breathing. And I'm like, I frown up. I'm like, I'm glad I got a mask on because it hides part of my feelings, you know. And I'm like, what is up with everybody? And then, oh. Then some of the odors that come in the car, man. Holy moly. I mean, I said, what, 2 episodes ago? This nose is very sensitive. I can smell a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I smell pheromones. I smell, sometimes I can smell the garlic. Sometimes I can smell, you know, it's crazy. But I'm like, man, when you get into an Uber car and you're going for a ride, if the Uber driver can smell your sneakers, it's time for you to get some new sneakers. It's time for you to cut your feet off. I don't know. Because, man, and I'm like, you just left work. That means you were probably in a cubicle that you either by yourself or you share with someone, and they got to put up with that. And I got the windows cracked. I got the air conditioner on, not on circulate, and I'm blowing air, and I can still smell that funk in the front seat.
Well, that's probably why, because you're blowing all that funk around.
No, man. I'm trying. Well, I can't close up the windows on some of these folks, man. I'd pass out.
Better to have still air than circulating air.
Oh, man, no. No. Not still air funk. Steer air funk is terrible, man. And I mean, and you look at some of these people and you think, oh, no. No way. And then you say, man, and you going to see somebody? Smells like you need to be by yourself. You don't need to be going on no date. The amount of people that get in the car and smell like weed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I'm like,
I got into a car. It was the first time I convinced my wife to take an Uber, and it smelled like this dude had just tossed the roach out the car before he picked us up. I got in, I was like, wow.
And then you gotta worry. You're driving. This fool is driving.
Yeah.
And to me, any sensible person, that's why I keep some air freshener, some Lysol, some Febreze, because I've picked up people that work at dispensaries.
Right.
And I don't know why they bringing their work home, but they'll have a bag with them and it'll have weed in it. Maybe they're selling some on the side or something. I don't know. But I had one incident where I picked up this guy from a dispensary and he had like a gym bag and he must have had weed in it. And I mean, my car was reeking. And I had picked him up, and as soon as I picked him up, I got another trip.
Okay.
And I dropped him off, and I pick up this, I guess she was in her late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
She gets in the car, and she smells it. And she asked me if I smoke weed. I was like, no. She goes, I smoke weed in here. I said, well, I just picked up a guy from a dispensary. And she was looking at me like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, she goes, really? And I go, yeah. I said, I'm perfectly fine. I'm sober. And it was like she didn't believe me. So now I keep a can of Lysol. So if anybody comes in, you know, I will pull the car over and spray it in the car just so I don't have to go through that. But I mean, I can understand where that would be a little unnerving. You're getting in the car and you smell weed in the car. But
all right, especially if you're expecting a. I always wondered what would happen if you got pulled over and like, because I've had guys do coke in the back of my car before. And, you know, as soon as I dropped them off, I went back and looked. And, of course, there's fucking coke all over my seats because they're idiots. I always wondered, like, what if you get pulled over as a driver and, like, something falls out of somebody's pocket like that? And they're like, who's this? You know, I mean, I imagine you could show them that you're driving, that you've taken these trips and this, that, and the other. But, I mean, it really does kind of open you up until the mercy of whoever pulls you over.
Uh-huh. And that's the reason why you don't drive over 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Because I know that I'm a black man in Orange County. All it takes is getting pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
And some knucklehead from Newport Beach.
And Trevor's dropped
his
bag.
Ranch, yeah. In the back Trevor, of your car. Dakota, one of those guys decided, you know, I thought I seen somebody doing coke in my car. I couldn't swear on it because most of the time I'm keeping my attention on the damn road.
Right.
But sometimes I can hear them.
Right, these idiots weren't being slick about it at all. You know, they're back there giggling like we're not 6 inches apart.
Yeah.
And whispering to each other. It's like, I actually said something to them. So, guys, I'd appreciate it if whatever you're doing, you wait till you got out of the car to do it. And they sat up, because they were young. They're probably in their 20s, right? They sat up all straight, like dad just walked in on them beating off or something. But
you know, That's the last thing I need is somebody doing coke in a damn car. That's one of my fears, that somebody will do coke in my car and it'll be laced with fentanyl and then they'll die in my car. And I'm trying to wake them up and I'm like, oh man. And then, of course, I gotta call the police and what did you do to them? I ain't do shit! I'm just driving from point A to point B, and then there's an investigation, and I got to go through all that before they either clear me or manufacture some evidence that, you know, and I'm like, man, And, you know, I know I've said this before, but nothing, and no one is up to any good at a Motel 6 at 1 o'clock in the morning.
No. That's where all the upstanding citizens go.
Man. You know what? If a policeman needed to get some... if you just need, you know, it's like, oh man, I need to get a couple of rests. You need to go to Motel 6 about 1 o'clock, 1:30. You get all, what, you want drug arrests? You want, what do you want? Who do you want to arrest? Because I'm telling you, man, I've picked up and dropped off. I think one time, it shocked me, I picked up a family with kids that looked normal.
What were they doing?
Yeah, exactly. That's what made him even more scary. Why are y'all out at 1:30 in the morning with your damn kids? Are those really your kids? Are those some kids you took? I don't know.
Well, I will say this. In my bartending years, right, I would, after working, which is about 2 to 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I would a lot of times run to the store, right, because I needed something for the next morning, whatever it may be. And there were times I was in freaking 24-hour Walmart, and there's a mom walking through there with three kids up just skipping around. And I always thought, man, what are you doing? Put them kids to sleep. You know.
It's rough.
And if you don't have anybody to watch them, come back later.
Well, you know, if you're working two jobs... Maybe it's, you know, maybe that's your only time.
Maybe later's not an option, but...
That's better than leaving them home.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
That could be another option. Exactly. That's a lot worse. I do want to get back, though, to your statement about you're more comfortable with the people getting in the back. Because you said two things that I was thinking of as you were talking about it. One, that you feel more comfortable with people in the back. Me... Not so much. I'd much rather be able to see them in case they were trying to do something silly. And then for passengers, I mean, the back seat is like the most least secure because you can actually be locked in the car in the back seat. If someone wants to get crazy and puts child locks on, you're stuck. They don't have that in the front seat. So this is my service announcement. The back's not as safe as you might think.
Well... It works for me. I'd rather have you in the back seat. Because if something happens where I need to go, okay, I need to end this. I need you in the back seat in order to end this. Because
when you say end this, what are you talking about?
Huh? I'm talking about whatever way I have to end it. I'd rather you be in the back seat.
this is your service announcement? Decide when you're done here, you're doing it in the car so whoever's in the back is safe?
Mm-hmm.
And here you were in the beginning talking about you have to be careful what you say. I think we just heard your own personal manifesto.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, if you are going to be a threat to me, then I'm going to be a threat to you.
If you're going to be a threat to me, I'm taking us both out? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, man. we gonna go to the pearly gates of judgment at the same time. And I'm going to be like, this fool was getting ready to take me out, so I had to take us both out. Doggone right.
Oh, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Hey, man. See, you ain't been driving lately. If you've been driving, you would understand, man.
I just stopped driving.
You just get some of these people. Well, it doesn't happen. Like I said, it'd be something different if it happened all the time. Then that might deter me from driving. But It's like, you know, you go through and you go through a week, you go through 2 weeks, and then boom. Surprise. Uh-oh. Might have to go to DEFCON 1.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Tell my mama I love her. Tell my dad I love him and miss him.
Oh,
But, you know, man, you know, I don't even, like I said, because there's less drivers, I don't even mind waiting, you know, a minute or two more for somebody. You know, as long as they acknowledge when I arrive and they're like, okay, I'll be right down, or I'll be 2 minutes, that's cool. But, you know, some of these fools try to keep you on the hook for, you know, over 5 minutes. And if it's not a hospital, a nursing home, or, you know, something like that, I have to cancel the trip.
Well, I think a lot of people don't cancel the trip because they don't want to pay the $5.
Huh?
I think a lot of people don't cancel the trip because they don't want to pay the $5.
Well, if I cancel the trip after 5 minutes, I get paid that wait time and they get charged that.
Oh, after the 5 minutes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, if they're thinking that, surprise, you got charged. Or I'll have somebody that'll, oh, you know what, I can't cancel the trip. They'll be at a different location.
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't like
you
that,
know,
yeah.
than what they put on the app. And they're like, hey, can you just cancel it? And I go, yeah, sure. And I'll sit at the spot where they told me to go, and I will wait it out until that 3 minutes is up, and then I'll cancel it. That way you get charged.
Because now, I will say, I've done that before. I don't know what happened. There's something weird with my GPS, and it like set a pickup for somewhere that I was. That's what I did. I set the pickup for where they picked me. I think I was going to a concert, and I accidentally hit the pickup button to be my house versus the concert venue where I was at. And I was, you know, of course, I didn't give any shit about it, but I was just like, man, I'm really sorry. I don't know how I screwed that up. But I also have experienced the people who just are making you wait for who knows what reason, but they're not communicating why or for what.
That isn't this is for all the people ideal. That use Uber and Lyft. You know, you should also take in consideration where that driver is coming from.
I don't know if I can.
Because if I'm driving 11 miles to pick up your butt so that you can go 2 miles, okay, take that in consideration before you decide to cancel the trip. You saw the estimated time of arrival, the time of pickup.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And if, you know, you coming across town, and to me, those people, those are the ones that I don't even give the extra 2 minutes to. Because you saw it was going to take me 15 minutes to get to you. So uh-huh. You had 15 minutes to get yourself together and be waiting. And then I get there and you still want me to wait another 5 minutes. Now, if you're going 45 miles... Frank will wait for you.
But so you're trying to tell me it all depends on the money?
To a certain extent, yeah, it depends on the money because, hey, it's a business. I'm making a business decision.
Uh-huh.
Now, if I drive 15 minutes to pick up somebody that's going, you know, 2 miles, and they're not out there, and I've communicated with them, and before I leave... I usually will type in, before I hit cancel, I will type in, do you still need an Uber ride? Uh-huh. And if that person doesn't respond back, I just go ahead and cancel the trip.
Well, yeah, I would do that too.
But, you know, it's just, and some of the places, man, I don't know. I think because of recent events in my life, man, I dread picking up people from the hospital. And those are the people that need to be picked up it just brings back feelings of, you know, my brother-in-law being paralyzed and, you know, making those trips back and forth to the hospital, and I still do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all, you know, we all appreciate, you know, for the most part, the people that are working at the hospital and these nursing homes, because they do an incredibly hard job, and it's not easy physically or emotionally. But I can tell you from experience that some of these places are there's no care in healthcare. Now, I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
This happened right before the pandemic. Oh, no, right after the pandemic when I started driving for Lyft. Pick up this guy. At one of these health care facilities. It was on it was in Tustin on Tustin Road.
Like a doctor's office or like a,
yeah,
a skilled nursing facility?
Yeah. And I get there, and it takes me at least 5 to 7 minutes to get this guy in the car.
Okay.
They released him. He has some kind of procedure. Now, when I seen this guy, I wasn't sure who I was picking up.
Right.
Nobody was out there with him, and he was sitting on this bench, and he looked like he was asleep. So, maybe that's my passenger. I don't know. I'll drive around, do a circle. I know that...
wasn't like he was sitting there waiting for you. He was just a person sitting out on the side of the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And finally... after doing like 2 trips around the parking lot, because you can't just be parked there.
Right.
I rolled down the window. I said his name. It was like, hey, excuse me, are you Steven? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I'm your Uber ride. And I guess the facility had ordered the ride for him.
Uh-huh.
Because I called them, and I don't know, it goes to some machine, and you know,
I've done
you
those
never,
before, yeah.
Yeah, you hardly ever talk to a real person. And like I said, the guy was no more than 10 feet away from the car, and it took 5 to 7 minutes to get him in the Uber. And I helped him the best I could. You know, he had a walker. He had to stop.
Was he old?
Yeah. Not super old. He was probably mid-60s.
Oh, okay.
He was about, I would say, 275 pounds, maybe 300, maybe 6'3". Oh, big guy.
Big dude.
And he was sweating. He was out of breath. And when I seen this guy, I was like, there's no way someone should have just released him like this. You know? I mean, there was no way that this guy was ready to get picked up and just with his own power or even with someone helping him get into the ride.
Right.
So, after, you know, getting him in the car, I put his walker in the trunk because it couldn't fit back in the back seat with him. And we get to his house, and you know, there was a conversation. He, like I said, he was in his mid-60s, so he was from a different time. I don't know why he felt the need to let me know that he really liked James Brown. I don't know.
What are you talking about? Why wouldn't he say that to you? Did you have your fro out, or did you have a hat on?
No, I had my fro.
Well, but you know damn well why he had to let you know that.
Well,
he wants to let you know he's a fucking ally. He's not like the rest of them.
No, because the way he was talking, it was like, it's like, you know, what's the password for me to be, you know, accept?
Right. How do I let Brown. You? How do I Godfather. Let you know I'm cool, bro? I'm cool.
Yeah. But see, if you have to explain that on a ride that's no more than 2 miles.
Look, man, it's a different time. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what's going to make you happy. Somebody who's like, hey, man, don't worry. I'm cool. I mean, that doesn't seem to make you happy.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't say it didn't make me happy. I'm just saying
mental note.
How many times is he going to bring up James Brown in 2 miles? Like, yeah, the Godfather, yeah, I've seen him, he was great. And so we get to his house, and you can tell this guy, well, at least me, you know, the size of him, the way he looked and like that, he was a little out of shape. Probably at one time he was probably like maybe a football player or something like that. And, okay. You know, probably, you know, he was big enough that, you know, not too many people ran up on him and wanted to pick a fight with him. Okay. So, you know, he had this kind of macho man kind of quality about him, you know. Okay. Pull himself up by his bootstraps, you know, tough guy. But, you know, now I'm old, so now I gotta deal with this shit. That was the attitude it seemed like he had.
Okay.
And so I pull him up in front of his house, and I'm like, I'm gonna get the walker. And instead of this guy, now, like I said, it took me between 5 to 7 minutes to get him maybe at the most 10 feet from the car to the car.
Okay.
The guy needed help. So when I get out of the car, I didn't even open his door. I was like, I'm going to get the walker. And I go to the trunk. Trunk's open. I'm getting a walker. He decides that he's going to get out on his own. And he gets out of, opens the door, gets out of the car. Before I can even get the walker over to him, he falls backwards and busts his head.
Oh, jeez.
On the street. And he's
actually split his head open? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. And, I mean, it was like, I remember it was between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There was, luckily, somebody drove past. They saw what happened. They helped me, you know. And he was, like I said, he was a big dude.
Right.
So we help him, and we get him in the back seat of my car. And he's bleeding, and I'm like, oh, man.
You split the front of his head or the back of his head?
Let me get a towel so he don't bleed and stain. You know, the last thing you want as an Uber passenger is to get in a car and see bloodstains.
Bloodstained seats?
Yeah, bloodstained seats. I think you would rather smell a blunt than see bloodstained seats. So I put the towel behind his head, and of course they have to call the ambulance. And I mean, I really felt for this guy. And the other part of the backstory is I was just a few trips away from hitting my bonus.
Back to money. We're really starting to see a different side of you right now, Frank.
No, because what I do is a business. Mm-hmm. Now, they can't get him out of my car to work on him. They're going to work the paramedics working on him in my car. I understand. Okay. So I'm like, man, oh, man. I was so close to getting my bonus, man. And this is hanging me up, man. And I reported to Uber, you know, or Lyft. And it was crazy, man. And then he's laying in the backseat of my car. And then I smell the smell that can only be one thing. And that's shit. And he had shorts on. So the shit went out of the leg of his shorts. Landed. Most of it got outside of the car.
Was this guy knocked out? Did he say, hey, I got to take a shit?
Dude, the dude just, he's 6'3", 300 pounds, and just fell and hit the back of his head. I'm sure he wasn't in control of his bowels at the time. Because, like I said, his head was bleeding. He may have had a concussion. I don't know. And they were working on him. And then the...
What were they doing to him? Just cleaning up his wound and...
No, they were... It had the machine, and they were doing... looked like they were doing tests and stuff. It was like, oh, man. It was a big fiasco. Now I got the smell of shit in my car.
You're trying to figure out a nice way to say, how long is this going to take?
And I couldn't. I couldn't find a nice way of saying it. I'm like, oh. And, you know, after a while, even the paramedics is like, man, I'm really sorry this happened to you. It's like, thanks, man.
Well, here's my other question. Did you keep the meter running? Did you finish the trip when you got there? Or were you sitting there the whole time with the trip running?
I think, I'm not sure. I think I finished the trip. Because I'm pretty sure I finished the trip because we got to his house. There was another trip. I was going to take another trip after that. I had already accepted it. And they ended up canceling, of course. But the crazy thing was that it just made me realize how quick life can change in an instant.
Very true.
I was there to witness it. And I don't know what happened to that guy. I hope he's all right. But somebody in his family should sue that medical facility because there was no way that that guy should have been left out there by himself in that condition. And I'm just an Uber driver. I'm not, you know, I'm not medical, you know. My job is just to transport from point A to point B.
Right.
And there should have been someone or whoever, whatever procedure he went through, whatever he did, someone should have had enough sense to realize, hey, you know what, this guy is woozy on his feet. He's a big guy, you know, and it's just, it's terrible because that's not the only time that I've seen something like that. I never had, that was the first time I had somebody that fell on me. But, you know, last week I picked up from a hospital down in, I think it was Mission Viejo, and I waited over the 5 minutes because I'm at a hospital. And then this Asian doctor comes out and he's like, oh, she's coming. She'll be right out. And then he's like, hey, you don't want to make a lot of conversation with her because she's, you know, nervous and like that. So they roll this lady out of the hospital. And she's basically, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And almost in hysterics.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You're going to put her in my car for me to take her to her house and she's acting like this? You know, that's, to me, that's a little, you know, that's a little extreme. And she didn't want to get in the car. I don't know if she was afraid of the driver. She asked the, you know, the people that were helping her, can you just drive with me to get to my house? And they're like, no, no, we have other patients. We can't do that. He's all right. He's a friend of mine. We use him all the time. And then he was like, what's your name? And I go, Frank. And he was like, Frank will take care of him. I'm like, you just told the lady that I was your friend and that you guys use me all the time. And then right afterwards, you asked me what my name is. I don't think she's buying this shit, you know. And they finally get her in the car. And, you know, the doctor told me not to do a lot of conversating. And then she starts talking. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Do I, you know, and she was probably 70s, in that area, like that. And she lives in a retirement community down in Laguna. And I, you know, she was like, oh, and some things I couldn't understand. I knew she could, she speaks English very well, but I think
she was just
nervous. Asian lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her, like, look, I'm just going to get you to where you need to be at safely. I'm going to get you to your home. And I repeated the address, and she said that, yes, that's my address. And she's in one of those communities where, you know, you can't just pull up to the place. So there's about, I say, 30, 40 feet for me to put my arm out, let her put her weight on that, and, you know, then get her, her walker was inside the house. And this lady wanted me to come inside the house to get a walker. And I'm leery. Going inside somebody's house, especially after you put on the show that you did at the hospital, because all something has to happen is something goes down, and then they're like, okay, you the Uber driver, why were you in the house? I had to help the lady in the house. Then the lady wanted me to use my arm and walk her and get her to her walker. And you know, you see and experience some of these things, and you're like, man, you know, my ass is starting to get old. Is that how it's going to be? You know, and it's just a shame that, you know, you pick up some, especially these elderly people that don't have contact with their family on a regular basis. And you see their frustration, and then you wonder, man, am I gonna end up like that? I mean, I picked up this one guy, and he was legally blind, older guy, and he was telling me, you know, all the different stuff that he had to do and like that, and then he told me, he goes, you know, man, I'm 77 years old. He looked good for 77 years old. And he goes, you know, sometimes I just wish I'd just die in my sleep. And I was like, man, that's rough, man. I mean, that you make it, you know, this far in life only to hope that, you know, he goes, sometimes I just wish I'd just die in my sleep. His wife had passed away several years ago, and I think he lost one of his kids in a car accident, so he was basically alone. And I was like, Wow, man. That's, you know, that's a
trip. Well, I had a funeral I had to go to this weekend, and a bunch of cousins came down. I got to talking to one of my cousin-in-laws, and he was telling me this story, this heart-wrenching story. And a synopsis, like his grandparents, his grandma of that side of the family's grandparents was like the matriarch. She was, everyone loved her. She was the one who got everybody together. She, you know, she was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, she had gotten cancer or something along those lines. Went through chemotherapy, did all the treatments and everything. Was sitting at breakfast one morning and suddenly just looked up at her husband, told him that she loved him, and then died right there at the breakfast table. And this lady was the love of his life, etc. So just about 4 days later, he dies of a broken heart.
Yep, now, that shit happens.
Now they revive him after 7 minutes.
Oh.
They revive him. And he's in the hospital. He's on some sort of medication. They're giving him some sort of a painkiller of some sort where I don't know the name of it. And it might have not even been a painkiller, but it was a medicine they were giving to him intravenously, but it had to be an exact dosage. Any more, and it was like corrosive, like it would eat holes in your body. And any less, there's some sort of other. Anyways, they were giving him too much. So it basically created a hole in his hand where the IV was. Then it settled like in his leg, and they had to amputate his leg. So here this man, you know, died of a broken heart, probably was happy to have been dead. They brought him back, and now he's got holes in his hands, he's missing a leg, and he was miserable. I don't know how much longer he lasted after that, but come to find out, he decided to shoot himself. Wasn't much longer after that, and he just didn't want to be around anymore. Like what he was around for had gone. And then he was like, well, that's checking out. And that was it. I will tell you what, I don't know if you remember this or if I even told you this, but my dad and I started a senior placement business. Probably 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Where we find, you know, senior living accommodations for seniors and stuff. And being in that business and in surrounding businesses that go around it, you do get to see a lot of this, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm no longer a part of it. One, because it was only a small time frame that I was supposed to be involved with it. But also, had no prior or preconceived notion of the emotional effect that whole part of life has on you. You know, because you really see... You really can't, well, a couple things. You can really see some beautiful things during that time, and you can really see some real ugly things during that time. And unfortunately, I got to see it all. You know, where families start fighting, where elderly are being abused because, you know, the family that's looking after them is so overwhelmed and so frustrated and tired because they don't want to put them in a home and they decide to take care of them themselves. However, they're very ill-equipped to do so. And as people get older, especially since humans are living so long now, there's a lot more mental deterioration than there is physical deterioration towards the end. So, you know, your mom or whoever it may be, your dad, who, you know, you looked up to and who's cared for you your entire life and has been the guiding light for however many years that was, has now reverted almost basically into a child. And you're trying to talk to them like they're that adult you remember, but mentally they're degrading and they become kind of a different person. And that really screws people up.
Yeah. I'm going through a little bit of that myself. And, you know, it's tough because even when I was raised in the church, believe in God, believe in Jesus, and even when my faith was wavering. I always had two good examples of how good God was. My mother and my father.
Uh-huh.
And as a kid, you don't understand the amount of sacrifice that it takes to raise four kids. And as a kid, you don't realize that one day those people will... They'll grow old and they'll grow different.
Right.
And, you know, I was joking with my mother because she was like, you know, my father, probably from working out there at the Chrysler plant, you know, and like that, he has back problems, has problems, you know, getting around.
Mm-hmm.
Will not use a cane. Will not use a walker. Hard hit. Will not, under any circumstance, he'd rather get around hunched over and clutching on to things. And he's 78, I think. And you would think all the times that you told me, son, use some common sense.
Right.
You know, if you do this, then you won't get hurt.
Why are you making this world so hard for yourself?
Well, now I use that same reasoning. Hey, you know, Dad, you should use a cane because you don't want to fall, you know, break a hip or something like that. Because then, you know, that's a cascading effect. Mm-hmm. You know, now you can't get out of bed. It takes time to heal. There's other complications like that. So that's always running in the background. And my mother, you know, when she's talking to me, he'll be in the room with her. And then she's like, your dad won't do what I tell him to do. He's supposed to. He won't use that cane. He won't use that walker for nothing. He's got three canes in here. And she's trying to talk to me so he can't hear. And she's like, it's just getting on my nerves. That, you know, and I don't want to see anything happen to him. And she, you know, I know she doesn't want to see anything happen to him. They've been married almost, you know, it's going on 60 years mm-hmm. pretty soon. And when you had somebody in your life that long and had kids with them, you don't know life any different without them.
Right. Nor do you want to.
So, yeah. And so you want to protect that. So I understand why she feels the way she does. And I told her, you know, she's like, he just won't listen. And I said, well, you know, I remember when we didn't listen to you guys. I said, you know, it's a shame that, you know, when you're a kid and you don't listen, you can get hit. Boy, I told you. And then smack. I said, that was okay. But now that you're older.
Now it's elder
abuse.
And I'm
trying to tell you something for your own good. And you won't listen. I can't hit you to make you respond the way that I want to. Because then I go to jail. It's elder abuse, you know. And she just
got to fall behind him and trip him. It's like, see? This is what I'm trying to prevent.
No, you don't want to trip them, man. Please, don't listen to Mike. Don't trip your parents.
Not really hard, just like a little one of those ones where you kick the leg back behind the other.
But it's just, you know, you start seeing this stuff. You know, you go through life, and a lot of times you don't take a look, or you'll see this one event, and then it goes away. Right. And it's like now... It's like it's repeating, you know. I'm picking up these elderly people, and it's like, you know, man, you know, you getting up there, Frank. This could be you, and so, you know, you start thinking.
Hope you're learning your lessons, okay? Because if I'm still around, apparently I'll be the one who has to take care of you since I'm the third in command.
Man, you ain't gonna be taking care of me. I ain't ever gonna be that bad off.
That's what you think. Watch.
I'm moving back to St. Louis.
I'll let my relatives pick you up and drive you around like Miss Daisy.
I will let my relatives abuse me before I let your ass abuse me. No.
It'd just be
ain't
me gotta pushing
worry
you
about
around.
Me be.
It'd be ain't me pushing worry. You around DragCon with a wig on.
Nope.
Mike, where are we at? It's a cool little party. Don't worry about it.
That's just a fantasy. You ain't ever gotta worry about that. My ass will not get that C now.
I already talked to Cynthia. She said I'm in.
No. And I know better than that.
And she thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, right. You're just making up shit now.
Hey, we don't have too much time, but I did want to bring this up. Not really super politically. But just since you're the one who actually educated me on this day in the first place, I was just curious on what your thoughts were on the Walmart Juneteenth ice cream. Have you seen this yet?
No.
So, Walmart released a Juneteenth ice cream. Its flavored is swirled red velvet and cheesecake flavored ice cream. And the world has gone apeshit in protest over it. What are your thoughts?
Well,
and here, let me read to you what it says. It's great value. It says Celebration Edition Juneteenth ice cream. It's a picture of three different, looks like child drawings of hands of various shades of brown. In the Our Story part of it, share and celebrate African American culture, emancipation, and enduring hope. So what are your thoughts on it?
You know, I understand that some people are trying to show their support.
Okay.
I don't understand why it's swirl cheesecake. Maybe I don't know.
That was my first thought.
I mean,
they missed a huge opportunity. Why is it chocolate vanilla swirl?
And what? Cheesecake. Since, you know, there's a lot of black people that are lactose intolerant.
That's digging deep.
Huh? Hey, man. Hey. I'll tell you this quick story. A comedian, what's his name? He's in LA, kind of bald headed, fat guy. Mike
Biglia?
I can't remember. But we were at the Improv when it was across from at the old Improv.
Okay. Across from the Yard House?
Yeah, across from the Yard House. And I seen him. It was before the show. And he had this, it looked like ice cream on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching him. He's walking around. Real nice guy. Funny guy. And he's talking. He's walking around. And it's chocolate dipped. And I'm watching him eat this thing for like almost a half hour. He keeps walking by, not one drop of ice cream. And I was like, hey, man. So what's up with this ice cream, man? What's up? Because I know this shit. And he's like, oh, it's not ice cream. It's cheesecake on a stick. They put cheesecake on a stick and then they dip it in dark chocolate. And I was like, wow. And I was like, you know, I was like, wow, I had no idea. I thought you were eating ice cream and that shit wasn't melting, you know. And so being the nice guy that he is, he was there for the weekend. The next day, he comes in and he gives me one of these cheesecake on the stick dipped in the chocolate. And it was delicious. I ate the whole thing. 45 minutes after I ate that, no one was allowed to go into the public restroom. That tore my stomach up. And I knew that, you know, hey, you know, Frank, you got to be careful with all them dairy products. But this stuff was delicious. I was willing to be in pain and grab my, you know, gut from it. But holy cow, man. Like I said, it's not that much of a reach. If you know anything about Walmart, you know where they come from. You know what their political affiliation and stuff, who they support and like that. So I don't know whether they're just trying to show support or, you know, it's not that big, you know, it's not really that big a deal. I know that some people are only trying to show support so they can keep their sales up in the different communities that they service. Some of
is that a bad thing though? And what I mean is, yes, it's to keep their numbers up. But if they're still creating awareness and celebrating it, does it matter?
Yeah, it does.
I would rather someone
do that and be sincere in what they're doing. And
but doesn't it still
I don't know I don't know why I don't know why like I said I don't know because you know and then again you know if they would have made it a chocolate cake, people would have been outraged about that. Why it gotta be chocolate cake? Like all black people eat chocolate cake. That's bullshit, man. So whatever flavor they pick other than vanilla, you know, they would have somebody on their backs about it, okay?
Well, and that's it brings
there's,
me to
there's
this
many
point.
Ways, there's many ways of, and you know what? I also know business well enough to know that, you know, these fools could have just bought a whole bunch of strawberry swirled cheesecake ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And they got a surplus of it, and we need to move it. Man, we need to move this ice cream. We need it before it goes bad. And, you know, we only have so much time to
do you
to get
really
rid of this.
Think that they're going to create a whole marketing campaign, packaging, color choices, because they have a surplus of one ice cream? Do you think, number one, the ice cream is going to last that long? And number two,
well,
that they can move that quickly?
Depends on where they have it in storage, man. What I'm trying to tell you is somebody had the idea of going, you know what, man? It may have been a black person. It was like, hey, Juneteenth's coming up. I know how we can move this ice cream. Like, what are you talking about? We'll make it Juneteenth.
You make it sound
ice
like
cream.
Walmart ice cream is in a four person warehouse where the marketing department knows what the surplus
no,
is.
I'm talking about the CEOs. I'm talking about
the
people
CEO
that count the money.
Doesn't even know that they make
I'm
ice cream.
I'm talking about the people that count the money. That's like, look, we could lose some money on having all this damn strawberry. We about making money. Now, I need somebody to come up with an idea on how we can move this ice cream. And some little black guy in the background is like, hey, man, Juneteenth's coming up, man. We could market and sell this shit, and black people will eat it up, man. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't a black guy. Maybe it was a sympathetic white guy. It was like, I know how we can move this. We can move this by June. When does it expire? Okay. We can move a lot of this in the black communities because there's Walmart's all through there. We can get rid of this surplus. We're not going to lose money on this. We'll call it Juneteenth ice cream. They'll eat it up.
Juneteenth ice cream gate. Oh, you're always good for one of those. Oh, that's fantastic.
Man. I'm just saying, man, I don't put nothing past this world. I have seen stuff. I mean,
here's the one thing that I think is a flaw with that mentality, though, and it's kind of, and we'll have to discuss it more next episode because we do have to keep our episodes a little bit shorter than we have been. But I feel like the world has shifted into inclusion, right? That's a huge word amongst all corporations. No, listen to me. Yes, it is. Amongst corporations, inclusion is a shift. It's a directive. To have inclusion, okay? Regardless if you think it's legitimate, regardless if it's just to keep, you know, the masses at bay, whatever. It is a absolute thing that's happening. So in Walmart's effort to be inclusive, they've got the Juneteenth ice cream. They've got the Pride Month ice cream that are coming out, which regardless of, you know, their leanings, they're putting it out there. I guess my point is, if you don't put anything past this whole world, then it's almost guaranteed that you can find something wrong with any effort, anything, any company, any person, anyone does, right? So I feel like you can be outraged at this if you want to be, but you have to want to be. Or you could say, hey, all right, nice shot. You know, I think there's some missteps in there for sure, especially in the flavors of ice cream, but if you look at the artwork, you'll have to look it up either now or when we get out of here. But, you know, it looks like something you would see, I don't know, some sort of inner city painting or something along those lines. You know, it's got the African colors in it, green, red, black, yellow, and the various shades of hands, like I said. And the message, I mean, the message is appropriate, right? Share and celebrate African-American culture, emancipation, enduring hope.
Like I said,
I feel like you can be outraged with that, or you can just say, wow, okay, well done. But I don't know why the automatic is to outrage. And well, I guess that's
it might what I wanted be, a little it bit might from your be, opinion. Like I said, it might be the fact that, you know, hey, a lot of those people that are, you know, the upper echelon of Walmart are, you know, might have to do with their politics and like that. You know, might have something to do with that. You know, Walmart, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's I know it's a Midwest company. If I'm not mistaken,
like out of Nebraska or something.
No, I thought Missouri.
Or Missouri. Or
at least, yeah.
That's right, Missouri.
Uh-huh. I'm from Missouri. Okay. That makes you a suspect right there. Because I know people from Missouri. I know some of the companies, some of the things that they've done in the past. And, you know, maybe they are trying to reach out. I'm not, you know, I'm not offended by it. I'm a little leery, but, you know, you have to give some people a chance. Just like the guy that wanted to proclaim, you know, James Brown to me. Okay, I get it. You just want to make a connection, and
just
want to
let
way.
People know you're cool. And yeah. That, and you know what? Honestly, I think a lot of it is also don't judge me by my color. I'm a white dude. I'm not that white dude. Right? So don't judge me the same way.
Oh, when we... Okay. Yeah, and I can see how that could be a problem. Because there's some white people that, you know, they know it's rough being white because they got other white people that make them look bad. They're like, man, I'm cool. I don't cause no problems with nobody. But I see that, you know, okay, you know, just like in the news, you know, somebody was putting on these cars this racist stuff and these flyers out there, and there's been another, you know, there's a mass shooting and you know, but you got these different states that are trying to, adopt certain laws that take away your right to vote, your voice, and putting people in the attorney general's spot that can decide what electors, you know, whether your vote counts or not. You can see all that. You can see that, okay, yeah, those people are white that are doing that. You can also see how they will take one person that's popular in the black community, and if he's been hitting the head enough, you know, maybe he believes the same way they do, and they prop him up and use him as, you know, hey, you know, we're trying.
Well, that, I'm that talking brings about me
Herschel
to this,
Walker for governor.
This quick
Herschel
question
Walker
here.
For governor. Really? Okay. We just went through this period of time about all these football players and how they have, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. How many concussions did they have? And now you want him to be governor and run your state? Really? I mean, he might be a good guy, but he's got the backing of Trump. So that makes you a suspect right there.
Well, absolutely.
Okay, and then when you get on TV and you say, you know, you tell the interviewer that I've never heard Trump say anything about the election being fake, or you know, that it wasn't a free and fair election. I've never heard him say that. I'm like, where has your ass been?
Well, why is that even a question from you? I mean, you should just look like, okay, from this point on, anything you say is null and void, right?
Well,
I
mean,
if I were to hear that from somebody,
they're
I'd
using
be like,
that,
oh,
they're using that person to say, hey, see, we're cool with the black people. We'll vote for someone that's black, but you're also voting for somebody that might have some mental issues.
You don't think the general public would hear him say that and be like, oh, this guy's out of his mind. We're not voting for him.
Not
you think
everybody
just,
pays attention to what happens
he's
on the
black,
news.
They're going
to
be like,
everybody
oh, yeah,
looks. No, not everybody investigates and looks at interviews and finds that out. They're voting for him right now, today. And there's some people that, you know, they won't hear that. And you'll have a lot of people that don't care because he's running as a Republican. And he has Donald Trump's support. So, you know, and we're not talking about he's running in California. I think if I'm not mistaken, he's running in Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia.
And there's a lot of people
cleaned up as a whole.
Huh?
Said so Georgia needs to be cleaned up as a whole, I believe.
Yeah,
Georgia. They seem to have quite a few issues.
Uh-huh. Georgia. Yeah, you know what they are, too.
All right, well, here's what
I
got to do.
I can name a couple other states, too, but I know we don't have that much time. I'm watching the news right now. 14 kids and one teacher killed in a Texas elementary school shooting.
Well, that's not how we like to end episodes.
No, I don't.
Well, then why are we doing
that? I'm telling you.
Why aren't we saving that for next time?
Telling people, I'm warning them, reality bubbles are popping. And you think, okay, that doesn't affect me. Well, you know what? I'm sure those parents that just lost a kid and that teacher, you know, their family didn't think that it would affect them. And it is. The amount of hate in the world and racial incidents are right now at an all-time high. Well, I won't say all-time high, but they're at a high. And
well, and that's why I think we should keep Juneteenth ice cream in the stores.
Yeah.
Let's erase the color lines.
That's going to make the whole world better.
It's a step forward.
A step forward would be
last year it got acknowledged. This year there's an ice cream after it.
Do you know what Juneteenth is about?
It's the last Emancipation Day, even after Emancipation had already passed.
Right. because they kept them working. they kept them slaves. Texas was the last state to decide, okay, all right, we'll go with what the government said.
Well, I don't even think they decided. I think they were told.
Yeah, they were told. And if I'm not mistaken, it was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. So that means, and if you know anything about history, they knew Texas was a safe state where they could still work the slaves. And so it wasn't until the government military came into Texas and was like, hey, look, you know, these people are free. It just goes to show you the stubbornness of how people want things not to change. Even though it was passed, it was made into an amendment, they still didn't want to abide by the law. And here we are, 2022, and you still have those people in some of those same states that don't want to abide by the law, don't want to share, don't want there to be equal treatment. So I'm just telling people, be aware of what's going on around you. Love the people that you love, because tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. Be good to those elderly people. Watch over them. You know, take care of your kids. I think, you know, especially now, because you're going to see a lot more incidents. I'm sorry that I have to break this to you, but you are. And I guess we'll talk about it. You'll see that I'm not crazy.
You spent a lot of time trying to prove that.
Because the world is proven to me right now. Everything that I thought would happen, it's happening. It's unfolding.
Well, how about this? Then I blame you. Stop thinking about that shit. Because obviously you're making it come to fruition, so knock it off.
No, it's not me. Okay? Because you know what? This would be a whole different world if what I was thinking would happen. And I will throw this out here. I know we got to go. If there are any aliens, anybody that if you're non-human, you just come here to chill and see what Earth is about, please contact me. I would like to use some
but
of your...
You're not fucking crazy.
I would like to use your technology
to
set things right in the world.
Our alien fan base.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to get one because they'll have the technology that Frank would like to use to set shit straight. So if you're an alien from a different world, because you see, if you're alien, you see what they'll do to you. Now you read the history books and you see what they've done to their own kind, their own, just because they're just a different color. You come from a different world. You know what they're going to do to you. Watch Independence Day. If you're alien, watch Independence Day. Know what's coming. Know what's coming for you.
In one sentence, you brought in sci-fi, Hollywood, and racial issues. I think you're done.
Yeah. That's a trifecta right there, homie. But I'm serious.
Parting words, friendly Frank, not to the alien community.
Live, learn, be better.
All right. I've got a theory on assholes that I want to talk about next episode. So get ready.
Well, it's like I always say, the shit doesn't fall far from the asshole, so.
On that beautiful note, that beautiful piece of poetry, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time.
Sub note. Stop. Drop. Shut them down. Open up shop. Oh.